Dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. That which was our second scripture reading, Psalm 34 and verse 18. Psalm 34, verse 18. And these words: "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." And our subject this morning is a Saviour for the broken hearted. And we come this morning to consider this verse in the 34th Psalm, which is a psalm of David, King David of the Old Testament, writer of so many of the psalms, of course, and inspired by the Holy Spirit each time. But these are tremendous words we find in verse 18. They are, of course, essentially words of comfort. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. What words of comfort they are. But equally, when we consider the full meaning of this verse, and when we begin to apply this verse, particularly evangelistically, then we'll find that these words are actually quite challenging for us, especially if we do not know the Lord. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Well, the Lord is nigh. Let's start with that, just by way of introduction. The word nigh, well, it may seem old-fashioned to some of us, but all it simply means is near. The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart. That's what that word means. The Lord is nigh. The Lord is near. And this would have been a great comfort to David when he wrote this psalm, because it was a very fearful time for King David. He feared very much for his life. It was a time, just to give a bit of context, before he was king, and King Saul was seeking after David to take his life. And so David was in hiding. He was on the run. He was very fearful. He was going to great extremes to protect his life, even to the feigning of insanity. He pretended that he was insane. That's what we read at the very start of this psalm, just under the psalm heading. A psalm of David when he changed his behavior. He feigned insanity. That's how fearful he was for his life. Before Abimelech or Achish, the king of Gath, he wanted to protect his identity. He didn't want to be caught and brought before Saul, so he feigned insanity. So this was a time of great fearfulness in the life of King David. And so he determines to comfort himself and to remember that even in his fearful state, the Lord is nigh. The Lord is near to him. And this is so true, of course, not just for David, but for every one of us. God is a God, this God of the Bible, who is near. He is a God who is near to every single one of us. God is not somebody who is far from you, somebody who is distant. Some people believe that about God. They perhaps believe that there is a God, that there's a creator God. But well, he created the world, he did all of that, and then when he did that, well, then he went off to some distant place. He left the world as it was. He sort of abandoned it, and now, well, we don't know where he is. But yes, there was a God. That's not the God of the Bible, who's gone off somewhere, abandoned us. God is near. He's near to us. That's the God of the Bible, the God who is present, if you like. God is always present. God is present, well, even now in this place, in this church, in this gathering. God is present. And not just in this church. You don't have to come to a church for God to be present. God is present everywhere. That's the teaching of the Bible. There is not a place where God is not there. You can go down to the depths of the sea, where no man has ever been, the deepest, darkest depths of the sea, God is there. Make no doubt about it. He is there. You could go up into the heavens. You could go up into a spaceship, go out into outer space, go past all the planets. Is God not there? No, he is there. God is there, of course. He is the creator of the universe, not just of this world. He made the heavens and the earth, the planets, everything. He's greater than the universe. He's bigger than the universe. There is no place where God is not. God is everywhere. God fills everywhere. He's omnipresent, present in all places. And well, so it follows that you can't actually hide from God. If God is everywhere, you can't hide from him, no matter where you go. This is why it is so foolish, and I mention this often, that some people think, well, if I just stay out of church, and if I just stay out of the way of Christians, and if I don't open my door when Christians knock at my door, then I've escaped from God. If I just block everything out of my life about God, well, then I've escaped him. That's impossible. You can't escape God. His place is everywhere. He sees you everywhere. It's impossible to escape God. So we mustn't even attempt to. We must seek him, not ignore him. We must seek him and find him while there is yet time. And you can seek him, whoever you are. You may have spent many years without the Lord. You may be a hardened atheist in this place, this day. Never heard about God, never cared about God. You may be somebody who's continually rejected God. Heard the message many times, but continually rejected him. But you can still turn to him. Even if you just turn to him just for a few moments, considered God, look to him, you'll be surprised how near he is to you. No matter how long you've gone without God, if you just look to him and pray to him just for a few seconds, you'll find that he's actually near to you. He can hear you. And you will know that and understand that. He is in fact waiting for you to turn to him. He's longing for you to turn to him. And he is a God who is always near. So that's something we have to understand right from the outset. The Lord is nigh. The Lord is very near. And then we read, the Lord is near or nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Well, it goes without saying that God knows the state of our hearts, of course. This is part of what we mean when we talk about God being near to us. He's not just near to us in our presence, but he's near to us in the sense that he knows everything about you. You know, when you struggle, when you go through difficulties, and you find someone who's gone through the same thing, and who knows what you're going through, well, you instantly feel close or near to that person because they know what you're going through. Well, God is like that. God is the only person who knows what you're going through, what your heart is like, what state your soul is in. God is the only one who really knows. We can hide it from everybody else. We're very good at hiding our true feelings. Our heart may be in great turmoil, but we just come into a place like this and we act all happy and cheerful, but inwardly our hearts are not right. There's great upset and misery. Well, we can hide it from ourselves, but we can't hide it from God. You can't hide those things from God. God knows the true state of your heart. And well, he cares. He cares very much about these things. And he is nigh particularly unto those that are of a broken heart. Well, does that speak to anybody here? Anybody with a broken heart? What does it mean to be brokenhearted? What does that mean? What can we glean from that? Well, let me put it to you that being brokenhearted is more than just being sad about something. Yes, we can be sad about things, but being brokenhearted, that's a bit deeper than just sadness. Being brokenhearted suggests deep disappointment. It's when you put all your hopes and dreams into something or into somebody. All your hopes and dreams are built on this one thing, and then it all comes crashing down around you. That's perhaps more of the meaning of being brokenhearted. You put all your hopes in something, and then it's completely dashed, and you're left brokenhearted. Perhaps one example we can give, well, it's a very sad and solemn example, but perhaps a wife who puts all her hopes and dreams in her husband and her future and her life. This is the one I'm going to put my trust in. And then one day, very sadly, her husband leaves her. He just disappears. Well, then she's left brokenhearted. She put all her hopes in him. Now he's gone. She's left brokenhearted. Perhaps another example we can give, a mother who puts all her hopes in her son. Parents often do that. Oh, my son is wonderful. He's so clever. He's so bright. He's going to grow up to do this. He's going to grow up to do that, a doctor, a lawyer. But the reality is not like that. He falls into bad company. He does terrible things. Perhaps he ends up breaking the law, going into prison, and the mother is left brokenhearted. She put all her hope in that one person, and the reality didn't match up. That's more of what it means to be brokenhearted. It's not just sad, broken-hearted. And you know, there are many people who are brokenhearted in society at large, and I apply it in this way. There are many people who put all their hopes and their dreams in this world. In this world, not in God. I'm not going to follow God, they say. I'm not going to trust in God or do anything that the Word of God says. I'm going to put all my hopes and all my dreams in following the way of this world. That's what people do. And what happens? Guess what happens? They're left utterly brokenhearted. Because the reality of the world is very different to the image that is portrayed. This is why I believe, and I say this very often, this is why I believe there's such a high incidence of anxiety and depression in this society. People so depressed, even amongst youngsters. You read it in the news and in the papers all the time. So many thousands of youngsters having to be treated in hospital because of depression. Why? Well, is it perhaps because they've been taught something about the world that isn't true? They've been taught, well, through the media, through the education system, oh, this world is a wonderful place. Just follow this world. All your dreams will be realized in this world, all your ambitions, all your joys in this world. Just follow the ways of this world. This world is wonderful. Everybody's kind, everybody's tolerant. We're all good at heart, really. There's nothing about sin. We're not all sinners. Everybody's really good at heart. Everybody's really tolerant and kind. And then when they grow up and when they start to see what the world is really like, then they know it's not like that. They put all their trust in this world and the world has just let them down. They're left brokenhearted. They realize that this world is not always kind and tolerant and good. There are people who are unkind and who manipulate people and who abuse people. They understand that. They realize that. And these things leave them brokenhearted. Even the best of this world, the supposed best of this world, the people who are meant to bring joy into this world. We've had some very high-profile cases in the news recently of celebrities, of pop stars. Pop stars who are meant to bring joy into this world through their music. Oh, they've brought joy to many millions of people. And what's the truth about them? They're the vilest of men. They're the vilest of people, and all their fans are left broken-hearted. This is the way of this world. If you trust in this world, dear friends, you'll be left broken-hearted. That is the message of the Bible. That is why I believe we have a generation of people who are so depressed, so anxious, so angry and frustrated, because they've put all their hopes in this world and it's come crashing down all around them. But God is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. God is near to each and every one who has been brokenhearted in that way. In fact, it's only when you lose faith in this world that you actually start to draw near to God. Only when you lose faith in this world, when you start to see through its broken promises, when you start to see through all its illusions, when you start to see through all the fiction, well, then you start to draw near to God. That's when you really start to seek God. That's what happened to me. I got to a time in my life when I completely lost faith in the world with all the advice the world was giving me. Oh, do this and you'll be happy. Follow that career and you'll be happy. And I went and did it and I wasn't any happier. I was more miserable. I began to lose faith in the world. And then what do? Who can you turn to? Well, then you start to look up. You start to seek God. It's only when you lose that trust in the world that you can really put your trust in God. That's what true repentance is. Turning away from this world and turning to God. You can't have both. You must have one or the other. And we must have the Lord. You must turn away from the world. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. But let me add one more thing for our thinking. It's not just the world that we are commanded to lose our faith in. And this is where it gets really challenging. It's not just the world. If we are to truly turn to God, we must lose faith and trust in ourselves. In ourselves. Now, I say this because many people, they come into a place such as this and they say, oh, well, I like what the preacher said about the world. I agree with him. This world is not a good place. I agree with what he said about the world, that it's full of corruption and falsehood. But I don't agree what he said about me. I don't agree to that. I agree about the world. The world is terrible. But I'm different, you see. I am a good person. I am a kind person. And well, God, if I ever meet God one day, he'll be pleased with me. Yes, I know the world is terrible, it's lost. But me, I'm different. I'm not a sinner. I don't need to repent. I don't need to have faith or do anything like that. I'm okay. You trust in yourself. You put your faith in yourself. Dear friends, again, if you put your trust in yourself, you will be left broken-hearted. And I say that even in this life. I'm sure there are times when you look upon your own life, there are times when you have let yourself down by your own sin, by your own selfishness, by your own unfaithfulness. You've let yourself down. You've trusted in yourself. Oh, I'd never do this. And then you went and did it. You trust in yourself. You'll be brokenhearted. And most importantly, you'll be brokenhearted when we stand before God one day. We all have to stand before God one day. A holy God. All your sin will be in view before a holy God. You won't be able to hide anything. God sees your heart, remember? He sees all the secrets of your heart, all your thoughts. God will see all these things. And well, because of your sin, he will say to you, depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me. And you'll be left brokenhearted, eternally brokenhearted. sent to a place where your heart will never mend. But dear friends, you must turn to Christ. Lay aside all your pride and turn to him. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save of such as be of a contrite spirit. What that word contrite means, well, it means deep sorrow for sin. Deep sorrow. That's what we must have as Christians. This is what we ask people. When people say that they're Christians, we ask them, what do you think about your sin? We don't go judging it by their church attendance. Oh, they come to church very much. They must be Christians. Or the way they sing their hymns or the service they do. That's not how we judge it. What do you think about your sin? Are you sorry about your sin? Or do you just think it's a light matter? Oh, sin doesn't matter as long as I come to church and pray and all do all those sorts of things. No, what do you think about your sin? Is there a sorrow there? Are you crushed over your sin? Are you brokenhearted over your sin? Because you know how much it offends God. That's what that word literally in the Hebrew, that word contrite means being crushed, almost down to dust. You're humbled. A Christian is not somebody who goes, oh, God will be pleased with me, I'm a good person. A Christian is somebody who says, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm crushed because of my sin. Lord, save me. I need saving. That's a true Christian. He saveth such as be of a contrite spirit, not a proud person, somebody who is of a contrite spirit. Dear friends, as we draw to conclusion, are you saved? Do you have that contrite spirit? Are you a saved person? That's such an important term or word, saved. Nowadays in the modern church, people don't like to speak about it in those terms. When people say that they've become Christians, they sort of say something like, I've made a decision for Christ, or I've become a Christian, or I've signed a card saying I'm a Christian. No, you have to think of it in terms of, am I saved? Am I saved? Saved from the punishment for my sin. I have sinned, but I'm saved from that punishment because Christ took the punishment upon himself. On the cross at Calvary, he took the punishment for me. So I am saved from it. Is that part of your faith? Is that part of your Christian identity? It must be at the very heart of it. I am a Christian because I'm saved. Not just converted. Not just because my parents are Christian or I go to church. I'm saved. What a glorious word that is. And we must understand it. Well, these other things that I wanted to bring to you. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save of such as be of a contrite spirit. This world is so full of people who are brokenhearted. They've put their trust in the world and in themselves. There is no hope in that, dear friends. But if you put your trust in the Lord, you'll never be brokenhearted. God will never let you down. Never in your life. You walk with him, you will see his faithfulness to you every day. God is not a man to lie to you, to let you down, to deceive you. You walk with the Lord, you'll never be brokenhearted because your heart is reconciled to God. Indeed, you have a new heart. You have a heart that is right with God, a heart that has been accepted by God, a heart that is full of faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the heart that will never be broken. So, dear friends, come, seek the Lord. He's near to every single one of you. You turn to him, even this day, you pray to him, you'll be amazed. He hears you. He will answer you and he will receive you. This is the God of the Bible, the God of David, the God whom we adore. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious and our loving Heavenly Father, the God who is near to every single one of us, near to us in presence, near to us, for thou knowest our state and our condition, the true state of our hearts. We can hide nothing from thee. O Lord, come and deal with us. Speak to us, dear Lord. May we not reject thee or ignore thee or neglect thee. How foolish that would be. Forgive us all our sin and help us to approach thee and heal and mend the broken hearts of each and every one of us. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.